Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our literature unit today and tomorrow and the next day. And what we usually do is we introduce a novel to you. We give you a summary of the plot of that novel. And then on the second day, we talk about the author, him or herself. And then on the third day, we kind of talk about what the novel means and why we think you should read it. And the featured novel for today is entitled Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it's set during China's Cultural Revolution. I've actually read several books that were set during this period of time in China. It was a tough time for the people there. A lot of people were persecuted, treated poorly because they were trying to change the way that China was set up, actually. They wanted to get rid of all these well-educated people. So this one actually features two teenage boys. There's a narrator, and you get to see what happens during this period of time through this novel. It's a novel, so we know it's fiction, but there are parts of it that are set in a historical period, so you get a feeling for what it was like, but the characters are just fictional.
Absolutely, and this book is, again, by a Chinese author who spent some time in France, so for today, we're going to be talking about a summary, or the summary of this novel today. So let's get to it. Let's talk about Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress. Let's listen to today's lesson now one time.
Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress is a novel set during China's Cultural Revolution. It features two teenage boys, an unnamed narrator, and his friend Luo, who are heading to a mountain village for re-education. Soon they gain a special privilege from the headmaster, due to Luo's talent for storytelling. The boys can watch films in theaters so long as they retell the stories to the villagers. On one trip, they meet a girl called the Little Seamstress. Luo is struck by her beauty, but feels she's unsophisticated. However, they fall in love when the seamstress later nurses him back to health after a sudden illness. After Luo's recovery, the boys steal a suitcase from a friend assigned to a different village. The suitcase is filled with classic Western novels that are banned in China. The narrator is fascinated by Romain Rolland's work. Luo, meanwhile, spends most of his time reading Balzac to the seamstress. One day, while Luo is summoned home, the seamstress secretly tells the narrator that she's pregnant with Luo's child. This presents a major problem, since they are too young to marry and abortion is illegal. The narrator solves this issue by bribing a gynecologist with a Balzac novel to perform an illegal abortion. Upon his return to the village, Luo does his best to civilize the seamstress. To his surprise, she runs away to the city. The boys eventually track her down and find her praying to her ancestors in a graveyard. She quotes a Balzac line, stating a woman's beauty is a treasure beyond price, before disappearing for good. The novel ends as a distressed Luo burns all of the books out of grief.
Okay, the title is Revolution of Knowledge. A revolution is a big change, usually a change in government, for example, but it could also be a change in thought or a way things are done. So this is a revolution of knowledge, I guess a big change in how people think and what they know. And, well, the novel we're talking about today is Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress. A seamstress is a woman who basically sews clothes.
She sure is. We talked about how the novel is set during China's Cultural Revolution. It was a very difficult time in the country where a lot of people were persecuted and tortured. Families were torn apart. You had to, denounce, which means you have to say you don't believe in certain things. People who had a lot of education were the ones who were tortured or persecuted the most. And they wanted people to be re-educated in the ways of communism and what it meant to be a good communist party person back then. Now, it features two teenage boys. There's also an unnamed narrator. If you're a narrator, you're somebody who is telling other people the story. Sometimes in fiction, books of fiction, we actually use narrators to tell the story of what you're reading, what's going on. Also in plays, sometimes there will be a narrator who tells the story. And there's also his friend Lul. So there's the unnamed narrator, we don't know who that is, and his friend Lul. But the story really is about Lul himself. These two are heading to a mountain village for re-education. This idea of re-education means someone thought their initial education or learning was wrong, so they're trying to retrain them, re-educate them in the ways that they should believe and, I guess, move forward with their lives.
You bet. So, indeed, these two boys are heading out to a village in the mountains for re-education. But soon they gain a special privilege from the headmaster due to Law's talent for storytelling. So Law, the friend of the narrator, is very good at telling stories or storytelling. And the headmaster recognizes this and thinks, hey, this boy is pretty cool. I could use him. And if you have a privilege, that means you have a special right to do something. You earn that privilege. You know, like the privilege to drive, for example. It's not a right, but you have to earn it. So they get this privilege, this special ability to do something, special permission, you could say. So I guess they get special favors from the headmaster because Law is such a good storyteller.
The headmaster is just kind of like the principal. Well, this principal thought, Lo's really good at storytelling, telling stories. So he allows them to have this special privilege that others don't get. These boys, these two friends, can watch films in theaters, but this is the condition. This is what they have to do for the headmaster. They can watch those films, but then they have to retell the stories to the villagers. The villagers don't have the privilege of watching films in theaters. So he gives this assignment to the boys. Yes, I will let you watch the films, but you then have to go back and tell the villagers all about the stories that you saw in the theater.
Yes, he has to give a summary of the plot, what the characters were like and stuff like that. I guess because the villagers can't see those movies. And on one trip, they meet a girl called the Little Seamstress. So I'm assuming this means it's one trip to the movie theaters. And when they go there, they meet a girl. And her name is the Little Seamstress, the little girl who sews clothing. And Law is struck by her beauty, but feels she's unsophisticated. Now, if you're struck by somebody, that means they get your attention and they really impress you. You kind of hold your breath at them. And Law saw her and he thought, oh, she's really good looking. She's a real hottie. I would like to get to know her. But unfortunately, though, she's unsophisticated, which means she's very simple. She's probably a peasant, a farm girl. She hasn't read a lot of books. She's not very smart.
Unsophisticated means they don't have much experience in the world. She just hasn't had a lot of education, formal education. She may not be able to read because she hasn't had the chance to go to school. You know, back then in China, a lot of those kids had to stay on the farms and help their parents raise crops to even make a living. So she doesn't have a lot of book experience. She hasn't been out in the big world. She doesn't know how to dress right or what fork to use when she goes to a nice restaurant. So if you're unsophisticated, as Tom said, you are simple, but that doesn't mean you're dumb. You just don't have a lot of experience in the world.
Not very sophisticated, basically unsophisticated. So, yes, she's not very wise to the ways of the world, hasn't traveled a lot, hasn't seen a lot, hasn't read a lot of books, stuff like that. However, they still fall in love when the seamstress later nurses him back to health after a sudden illness. We don't know what that sudden illness is. He came down with something. He got sick, and she was there for him. She was very loyal to him, and she said, well, I may not be so sophisticated like you, you big city boy. You know all that kind of stuff, but I can nurse you back to health. And nurse here is being used as a verb, which means that you take care of somebody like a nurse does. You give them the medicines they need. You give them food when they need it. You're basically taking care of a sick person so that they can recover from their illness so that they can get better.
Ah, well, I guess that's when they had the chance to get to know each other better, because that's when they fall in love as she's nursing him back to health. Now, it says here that after Lo's recovery, the boys steal a suitcase from a friend who is assigned to a different village. When you talk about someone's recovery, it's the process of them getting healthy again. Maybe they were hurt or sick for a while. So as your body gets well and returns to good health, that's your recovery process. Here, this recovery is a noun. You could also say that Lo had to recover. So recover is the verb. Now, these boys are kind of bad, kind of naughty. They decide they're going to steal a suitcase from a friend. He's even a friend, and they're taking his suitcase.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so what is in the suitcase? Well, we're going to find out in a minute. Here it says, this friend was assigned to a different village. If you're assigned to a certain position or a desk or a job, it means someone tells you that's where you're going to go. You don't give yourself the assignment. Someone else tells you what kind of work you need to be doing or what desk you need to sit at in the office. Most of us have assigned seats in school, at least. We did when I was growing up, and we had to sit in the same place every day so our teachers knew where to look for us. Those are assignments or assigned things that other people tell us we need to be doing or do.
Right, so this friend was assigned to a different village, and I guess they thought that if they took the suitcase, they wouldn't have any problems because the friend was in a different village. He couldn't cause trouble.
Yeah.
We don't quite know exactly what they were thinking here. But it turns out that the suitcase is filled with classic Western novels that are banned in China.
Uh-oh.
I wonder how they got those. These are classic Western novels, which would be novels written by writers in Western countries from England, France, Germany, etc. Western usually refers to Europe and North America there. And there are classic novels there that they don't like in China. The government in China does not want the people to read those books. They're full of subversive ideas. And so they're banned there. A ban is a prohibition. Something's prohibited. They don't let you have it. Ban here is being used as a verb. They are banned in China. Or there is a ban on books. In that sense, ban is being used as a noun. Well, you know something? I think we're about halfway done with today's lesson. I think we should take a break right now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们要看的是第15个单元。好，要谈文学作品。这个文学作品呢，不知道你有没有读过，它叫做 Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress， 我们中文翻成巴尔扎克与小裁缝。谈到这个书，它一开始先告诉你它的背景。好，我们提到书啦，电影啦，背景设在哪里，你要用的一个动词是 set。我们谈时空背景用它的名词是 setting, S-E-T-T-I-N-G。那这边他要介绍这本小说，他说时空背景呢是设在中国文化大革命时期。这个 set, S-E-T, 其实它是过去分词。如果你要整个来做解释的话，就是讲 a novel which is set during China's Cultural Revolution。好，我们现在来往下看。那提到小说背景之后，还要提这本书主要谈什么？英文里面有一个动词就是 feature。feature 这个字，它如果当动词，谈书是以什么为特色，以什么为主题，以什么为主角，你都可以用这个字。那这边就是讲它的两大主角是两个青少年，所以它用 feature 这个动词。那再来提到这两位主角之后呢，后面又说这两个主角因为是中国文化大革命时期，他们其实是要被接受去送，被送到一个村庄里面，然后接受再教育。这个字再教育英文 re-education， 我们常常用 re or e 放在单字的前面，然后组成一个新的字，当然字义上它就会有加了一个再一遍，重新再来，或者是回复到什么状态，这样子的解释。所以当你说 re， 其实就是有 again 或 back to the way it was 这样子的含义。那所以像 re-education 就是指再教育，重新再教育一次。你也可以用在别的动词，比如说 write 变成 rewrite， 比如说 tell 变成 retell， 比如说 take a test， 你变成 retake a test， 或者是 capture somebody, 抓了一个人，你 recapture him, 又再把他抓回来。当然你这样子的字可以再做很多的组合，不过留意一下这个字首它的含义。再来下面呢，我们看到第二段，第二段里头提到说这两位主角，那他们呢在有一次的行程里面遇到了一位被称为 Little Seamstress 小裁缝的一个女孩子，那其中的一位罗明啊，他就被她的美貌给迷住了。这里这个片语 is struck by, 当然这个 strike 变成 strike, 这里是他的过去分词。如果说一个人 be struck by something,中文字面翻就是被打到，其实就是被迷住了。那我们再来看另外一个字也很有意思，就是 unsophisticated。 我们知道 sophisticated 这个字是一个形容词，如果你讲一个事情复杂度很高的，很繁复的，那就是 sophisticated。 如果谈人，那就是表示说他可能呢思虑比较缜密，知识水平比较高一点，很有见识，或者是想的比较多。那这样子看这个女孩子是 unsophisticated, 换句话说是觉得这个女孩子好像没有很复杂，意思就是念的书不够多，知识水平不高，好，教育水准不高，所以这个字可以用来讲人。那我们再来看下面呢，还有提到另外一个地方，就是说这两个男孩子他们偷了一个行李箱，然后行李箱是从谁而来的，是从一个 被 assigned to a different village。 注意到 assigned, 这个 assigned 其实它是过去分词，放在 friend 的后面，表示 a friend who was assigned to a different village。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson for today. We're summarizing the novel...Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress. It's a novel set during the Cultural Revolution, which took place in China in the mid-60s there, 66 to 1968. And yes, it was a very kind of a troublesome time for China then. It was later brought to a halt, but some of the influences of the Cultural Revolution are still with us, and people are writing books about it, including this one. And so far, we've got these two boys. They're in a mountain village. They are...I guess, retelling the plots of movies to villagers, mm-hmm. as part of some kind of special favor or privilege they got from the headmaster of the place they have gone to for re-education. And then Law, is it? He met a girl there who nursed him back to health. And then they stole this suitcase from a friend, and that suitcase was filled with classic Western novels, which are banned in China.Now, the narrator, of this book, the main character, is fascinated by Romain Rolland's work. I guess the, suitcase contained some novel in there, maybe one or two novels by this writer here. If you're fascinated by something, that means it really gets your attention. You really want to read that thing or look at that thing or watch that thing. You can be fascinated by all sorts of stuff. Oh, I'm so fascinated by...The Central Mountain Range in Taiwan. I always go hiking there all the time. It's such a fascinating place.
It is. Well, the narrator, remember, is Law's friend. Those two boys were the ones who were sent to the village to be re-educated. And the narrator really loves Romain Rolland's work.
Well, he's actually a French novelist. He wrote novels, and so he's from France.
That's why he's French. Yeah.
But in any case, yes, he is fascinated by the work of this novelist from France by the name of Romain Rolland.
Oh, Romain Rolland.
Okay. No, that's French. This is an English lesson. Quit showing off.
Now, meanwhile, Law, his friend, spends most of his time reading Balzac to the seamstress. So he's taking books that the little seamstress obviously can't read. She's not educated.And he's reading them out loud so she can learn from them, as well. Meanwhile, here just means, well, something else is happening, something else is taking place. So these two things are happening at the same time. His friend is busy reading his favorite author, Romain Rolland, his work. And then Laura is spending his time reading to his love, the little seamstress.
Indeed. And one day, Laura is summoned home. If you're summoned, that means somebody orders you to go someplace. You could be summoned to appear in court, for example. And the seamstress secretly tells the narrator that she's pregnant with Lo's child. Uh-oh, that might be trouble here. So Lo had to go home. He was ordered home or called home. So then the seamstress confides in the narrator of the story. Actually, I'm pregnant with Lo's child. If you're pregnant, that means you are expecting a baby. And as far as I know, only women can get pregnant. Unless you're Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think in one movie he was actually pregnant, but that's Hollywood. In real life, it's mostly women.
Now, this presents, it says, a major problem since they're too young to marry and abortion is illegal. There are a lot of laws in China, and you didn't have the freedom to do what you wanted to. You had to obey those laws. So it's a big problem for them. If you're using this verb to present here, it doesn't mean you're giving someone an award or a prize. This is a verb that means you're suddenly creating a challenge or a problem has been created for you. So this presents or creates a major problem for these two. They're too young to marry, according to law, and abortion is illegal. Abortion is the killing of a baby before it's born. So she's in a pickle, you could say. If you're in a pickle, it's a phrase we use to say, you're in a bad situation and you don't know what to do. It is kind of a bad situation for these two young kids.
But still, if she were to give birth to that child, it would be big trouble. So they've still got to figure out some way to abort that child. So the narrator solves this issue or solve this problem by bribing a gynecologist with a Balzac novel to perform an illegal abortion. Okay, so I guess that will take care of the problem here. And so he solves this problem by bribing this gynecologist. A gynecologist is a doctor who specializes in illnesses and sicknesses unique to women. And if you bribe somebody, you offer them some money or some favors, especially somebody in the government, so that they'll do something for you. But of course, it has to be secret, because if other people find out about it, it's a scandal.
Oh, yeah. Actually, there's a lot of bribery, that's the noun form, going on all over the world somewhere. It doesn't even have to be to a government official. It can be bribing somebody who, you know, can help you out a little bit, but what you're asking for is illegal or is not supposed to happen. You could bribe a friend with some money to help you cheat on a test. That's bad, right?
It is bad.
Yeah, bribery is a bad thing. If you bribe, you can either offer someone money or you can tell them you'll do something in return for what they do for you. You'll return the favor, we could say. Well, this gynecologist who specializes in treating females' reproductive systems, everything that has to do with having a baby, a gynecologist would be a specialist at doing. They go ahead and have this illegal abortion. Now, upon his return to the village, Law does his best to civilize the seamstress. If you civilize someone, you teach somebody how to behave in a very polite way, a very gentle way. And I guess he thinks that the seamstress is a little wild, perhaps, more like a peasant than he really wants her to be. Of course, back then in China, during the Cultural Revolution, Mao wanted the citizens to become more like peasants and not be so sophisticated and educated.
Indeed. So he does his best to civilize her to make her seem like a more modern person instead of being somebody from the country, a savage, a peasant and stuff like that. But to his surprise, or it's surprising to him, that she runs away to the city. So she leaves the countryside and goes into the city. So I guess, hey, she might want to be sophisticated or civilized after all.
Find someone better than Law, who just wants to criticize her, it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like he's being a mean boy there, trying to change her. Remember, if you try to change your partner, they don't tend to like it. Leave me alone. I'm who I am. Well, the boys, well, they need to find her, so they track her down and find her praying to her ancestors in a graveyard. That's where I would go if I ran to the city head right to the cemetery and pray to those ancestors. And here they track her down. If you track down someone or track someone down, you look for them, especially when it's difficult to find them. You look for them, you search for them, and eventually they are able to find her. Did you see some girl? You know, she looks like this. She's so tall. She's wearing this dress, and she goes by the name of the little seamstress. Have you seen? Oh, yeah, she went down that way about 2 days ago or something. So eventually they were able to track her down, and there she was in the cemetery, in the graveyard, praying to her ancestors. Of course, her ancestors are people in your family who lived before you. Yeah, your grandparents or great-grandparents or even going way back, hundreds of years, those are your ancestors.
And a graveyard is where their bodies were buried after they passed away. Graveyard is also the same as a cemetery. A cemetery sounds a little nicer than a graveyard. She there quotes a Balzac line. Remember, Law used to read to her from novels written by Balzac. And that line was, "A woman's beauty is a treasure beyond price." So there are certain things women have that they're so valuable you can't pay enough for them. And here it says, "Beauty, a woman's beauty is a treasure beyond price." And that is the last time you see her. She disappears for good. For good means forever. So you don't see her again. And that's where the novel ends. It's kind of sad. We see a very distressed Law, and he burns all of his books out of grief. If you're distressed, you're upset, you're worried, and grief is a state of being extremely unhappy, usually because of something such as someone passing away in your life.
We don't feel any feelings of grief right now. We feel great feelings of joy because we get to listen to our Chinese teacher. Let's listen.
好。这个故事呢其实呢很有意思，那谈到这两位青少年他们这一路上碰到了 Little Seamstress 之后人生的改变，那这一边提到这个女孩子后来怀孕了，Narrator 也就是叙述者他帮忙解决了这个问题，这个解决问题的方法就是让她去堕胎，不过最后这边接下来又说后来罗明他回到了村里面，他想办法要把蒋裁缝教化他，就是等于是传授他知识让他多念书，诶，可是看到这个字 upon his return to the village， upon 这个介系词他意思如果他放在一个动作前面就是在那个时刻当怎么样就怎么样，有时候我们比较习惯的是 as soon as， 如果这一句如果你用 as soon as 来讲就是 as soon as he returned to the village， 他一回到村里头然后就想要教化这个小裁缝，那这边如果你改成 upon 那就后面要变成接名词或者是动名词，所以因此看到的是 upon his return to the village。
That's all the time we have for today, guys. Come back soon. We're going to talk about the author himself in our next program. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.